God's Little Brown Church Sermon Series featuring Pastor Andrew Chrysler.
March 10th, 2024. Daylight saving. Nobody was late this morning. Okay, well, you know, within 2 minutes or so. Nobody was the hour late because their clock didn't change. No. Now wait a minute. So, those listening online, always the criteria. This is our 19th year pastoring this church, and until this year, or until probably the last little bit of last year, Sue always came in after the first song. So the rule was, if Sue beats you to church, you're late. Well, things have changed, and Sue's starting to show up before 10 o'clock. So we can't go by that criteria anymore. We're going to have to come up with another. Not quite sure who wants to be the one that's now the new standard, but I'll keep that in mind. So the message this morning is, do the first works. I was watching a YouTube clip this morning, and it was a couple of ministers talking, and one guy's got a regular podcast, had a couple of ministers there, but he was sharing. He says, there was one verse that always scared me, and it was the verse where these people come to Jesus, and they say, but Lord, we've done many wonderful things in your name. We've healed the sick. We've cast out devils. You know? He said, and he says, depart from me. And the guy that was doing the talk said, that verse always scared me because my life hasn't been perfect. I haven't been healing the sick and raising the dead and casting out devils and all these other things. And if Jesus tells them to go, what claim do I have? And the minister that had talked to him, and I had never heard this before, and it kind of stuck with me, so I figured I'd share it with you. He said the reason, or a reason, don't know if it's the reason, but the reason that happened is they came to the Lord with all of their qualifications. Lord, I did this, I did that, I did the other. Rather than come before the Lord and say, my entrance into heaven is through the blood of the Lamb who died on a cross and paid for my sins and imparted to me his righteousness. The things that we do are to be done out of love for what God has done in us, not so that my good deeds outnumber my bad. And I thought that was very profound, and I wanted to share that, especially since it fits in with the message this morning. Revelation 2, beginning with verse 1. Carol, I need you.
Page 824
in the Pew Bible, if you want to read along. Of course, if you brought your own Bible, I have no clue what page it is in yours. That pen doesn't work. Page 824 in the Pew Bible, Revelation 2, beginning with verse 1. So, if you're not familiar with the passage, this is the letter. This is what Jesus says to the churches in Asia, to the seven churches in Asia, in the first part of Revelation. So, chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, says, "To the angel of the church of Ephesus, write: These things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor and your patience, that you cannot bear those who are evil, that you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience, and have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you are fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or I will come unto you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So this is the letter to the first church. The church of Ephesus, we know about the church of Ephesus. Paul established that on a missionary journey and later sent them a letter. The book of Ephesians, in which we talk about the gifts of the Spirit. We talk about the armor of God. We talk about the body being fit and joined together. All of these things are in the book of Ephesians. And Jesus, in this book of Revelation, to the church of Ephesians, goes and praises them for good things and says, but you've left your first love. Now let's go back to verse 2. It says, I know your works, your labor and your patience, that you cannot bear those who are evil. You have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and not become weary. Stop right there. He says, you've been working. You have been, discernment. You've been able to tell that those who have claimed to be apostles and are not, you found them to be liars. You've been paying attention. You have persevered. You have continued to work on and on and on. You've had patience. You haven't given up. You've kept going. But in the midst of all of that working for God, doing what's right, you got your focus off the important thing. You've lost your first love. Remember the two great commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So if you're just doing all the other things, but you're not loving God, he says, I have something against you. And the solution is to go back and repent and do the first works. Go back and recognize that it is a holy God who loves us, who has drawn us by His Spirit, that is the reason we get out of bed. That's the reason we can get out of bed. Because I don't know about you, but I should have been dead quite a few times. I don't know of anybody else who's ever had a foot-long piece of wood stuck in their head. Did not crack my skull, creased it. I got a lovely little scar, 9 inches on the side of my head. Shot at, stabbed, electrocuted twice. Should have been crippled. There's so many things that should have happened. Ron's got his own testimony. He's got some newspaper articles for his. It's pretty interesting reading. All of us have been through things where God has shown Himself mighty on our behalf. And recognize that God loved us so much, and Scripture says we love Him because He first loved us. But sometimes we can get so busy with life that we lose track of the first things. That's what happened with the Ephesian church. In Luke 10, beginning with verse 38, Carol.
Oh, 699.
Page 699. Now, I'm supposed to write these down myself before service starts, and I got distracted to the point where I didn't even plug in the computer until the last minute after it had already shut off. Page 699, Luke chapter 10, beginning with verse 38. It says, now it happened as they went, that he entered a certain village, he being Jesus, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Jesus came into their house. Martha invited him in. This is Mary and Martha are Lazarus' sisters. And Martha's busy. The word that says, you are troubled about many things is the word turbid. So have you ever seen what happens when a whirlpool is in a lake or something? You get a whirlpool going, and then when the whirl comes out, like for instance at a dam, the water's coming out really, really agitated. Martha, you're agitated like the water coming out of a spillway. He says, but Mary has chosen the best part, and that's the part that's required. And that was drawing close to Jesus and paying attention to him. Everything else will get taken care of if we take the time to focus on the Lord. You're like, well, wait a minute. Who's going to get fed? You're going to get spiritual food, and somebody's going to say, hey, let me help you with that. As we focus on the Lord, the other things will fall into place. But if we focus on everything else, then we can have the possibility of forgetting that important part. Forgetting the part of spending time with the Lord. Forgetting the part of drawing near to Him. So going back and doing the first works, going back and paying attention to the God who delivered us, who set us free, who saved us, who redeemed our lives from destruction, recognizing, he says, remember from where you have fallen and repent. Remember what we let go of to get to where we are. If anybody ever wonders, I preach to myself, y'all get to hear it. Okay? Absolutely. There's always the possibility, the distractions of this world come into each and every one of our lives. Lamentations 3, beginning with verse 39. 555. So Jesus has told the Ephesian church that they've left their first love, they should remember from whence they've fallen and repent. Jesus has told Martha that Mary has chosen the best part to sit at the feet of Jesus and spend time with Him. Now in Lamentations 3, we hear from Jeremiah. It says, why should a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins? Let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord. Let us lift up our hearts and hands to God in heaven. So in Lamentations it says, draw close to the Lord. In Job, it says, should we expect good from the hand of the Lord and not difficulties also? The Lord has given, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. At the end of Job, did I include that in here before I go quoting it now? I want to make sure I didn't. No, I didn't. Good. Job, at the end of the book, Job says, before I heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes have seen you, and I repent in sackcloth and ashes. Before I just knew about God, but when he come to know God, after Job's journey, after all the difficulties he had, he lost his children, he lost all his goods, and then he's got the boils all over his body. He's sitting in a pile of ashes. He's covered in sackcloth. He's got a broken piece of pottery scraping the boils because it itches and hurts so much. His wife is saying, curse God and die. And then his friends show up. And they spend a little time sitting there in silence. And then they start saying, how come you're such a wicked sinner that you won't admit it? All of these things happening in Job's life. Job's like, wait a minute. I don't know why God is doing what he's doing. I want to commune with God. I want to argue. He won't answer me. In the midst of all of that, God finally shows up and answers. And God answers and says, where were you when I formed the line of the earth? That I poured in the line of the sea that said, it will go this far and no farther. All of these things that happened. And Job says, before I heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye has seen you. And I abhor myself. I repent in sackcloth and ashes. Job says, I recognize that I'm not worthy to come into your presence. But Jesus made the way for us to come into the presence of God. God sent his only Son to make the way that we might come into his presence, that we might draw close to him. And Jesus says, that's the best part. the drawing close, the spending time, the coming near. 2 Corinthians 13, beginning with 5. 783. So we've heard from Jesus Christ twice. We've heard from Jeremiah. Now we're hearing from Paul. 2 Corinthians 13, beginning with verse 5, says, "Examine yourself as to whether you be in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourself that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? But I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified." That word disqualified there means not, doesn't pass the test. Test yourself to see. Examine ourselves. 1 Corinthians 11.
Which verse are we reading?
1 Corinthians 11, verse 27.
773.
So in 2 Corinthians, Paul tells the Corinthian people to examine themselves. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 27, we hear about this when we do communion. Or when you're in a communion service, not necessarily every time, but where Paul says, "Whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world." We're told repeatedly in Scripture to examine ourselves. Understand, I stand before a holy God clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, not because of what I've done, but because of what He did on my behalf. Tells us that in Isaiah 53, starting with verse 10, where it says, if you claim his soul as a sacrifice for sin, he looks down and sees him, sees the travail of his soul and is satisfied. God looks down and sees Jesus standing in our place because of what he did. As I'm walking out this Christian life, as I'm walking out my own salvation, as I'm walking out this journey that God has me on, I have to keep my eyes focused on the one who made it possible. I have to keep my eyes focused on the one who loved me and redeemed my lives from destruction. You see me walking, you'll see I limp. Not like I should have. I've been through a lot. I'm 63. Praise God. I never expected to live to see 30. But God had a plan. And God continues to have a plan, not only in my life, but in your life as well. And our focus has got to be on the one who has us engraved in the palm of his hands. Our focus has got to be on the one who loves us and draws us by his Spirit. James 4.
Page 813.
So we've heard from Jesus, Jeremiah, Paul, now James. James, page 813, James 4, beginning with verse 6, says, "But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." James is talking to the church. He's talking to the believers. He says, cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. If that was a problem at the beginning of the church, you think it's still a problem today? Lord, we need this word each and every day. We need to focus each and every day on what a holy God is calling us to. I should not be alive. I'm here because God had a plan. There is no other explanation. Nothing else fits. He is merciful and He has me here and has you here for His purpose today. What are we doing to seek His face, to draw near to Him today? Paul told the church, examine yourselves to see whether you be in the faith. Take a look. Examine your lives. Examine yourself whether or not you're recognizing what Jesus has done on our behalf. Do we just take the communion because, hey, it's, you know, put out there? Or do we recognize He willingly shed His blood? His body was abused. He was put to death on my account, on your account. Do we recognize that the life we live is lived by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave Himself for us? Do we recognize if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let now Israel say, when the enemy came in like a flood, they would have overwhelmed us. When we faced difficulties in our life, if God hadn't brought us through, we would still be there. But He has shown Himself faithful and continues to bring us through. He continues to direct us. The path is sometimes very convoluted, right, Sally? The path He brings us on is sometimes very confusing, very frightening. But He brings us through because He knows what He's doing, because His plan is a perfect plan. Final passage, Hosea 6, beginning with verse 1.
Page 609.
Page 609, Hosea 6, beginning with verse 1. Hosea says, come and let us return to the Lord. For He has torn, but He will heal us. He has smitten or stricken, but He will bind us up. After 2 days, He will revive us, and on the third day, He will raise us up, that we may live in His sight. Let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and former rain unto the earth. Hosea says, we need to draw close to God. Hosea, prophet to Israel, talking about how Israel has turned away from God so many times. And he says, come close. Draw near. God is merciful. He leads us by His Spirit. He draws us back into His presence. I learned this verse as a song. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for He hath torn and He will heal us. He hath smitten and He will bind us up. After 2 days He will revive us, and on the third day He will raise us up. And we shall know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and He will come to us as the latter rain, as the former and the latter rain, and will show forth unto all the earth. God calls us to come close. God calls us to seek His face. God calls us to draw near, to not let the distractions of this world tear us away, to not let anything remove our focus from seeking Him. All the good things we can do are useless if they're not an outpouring of our love for Him. We can't be good enough to get to heaven. Jesus is good enough. Jesus paid the price. He's the one who draws us. I can bring nothing to the Lord that He hasn't already given me. What do you have that hasn't been given to you? But He calls us into fellowship. He desires the relationship. He wants us close. So go back and do the first works. Draw close to the Lord your God. He loves you. His arms are outstretched. And He has a plan and a purpose that He has fitted you perfectly for. The path you have walked, the good days and the bad days, the turmoil and the joys have all continued to shape you for what He has in mind. But we won't know what that is if we don't keep our focus on Him. Father, we thank You. Thank You, Lord, that You love us so much, You continue to draw us. You love us so much, You continue to command us to come near. Come unto Me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You draw us by Your Spirit. You direct our steps and You guide us. And You show Your love each and every day, in each and every moment. Help us, Lord, not to be so distracted by everything else that we lose sight of that. For You are worthy of our attention. You are worthy of our praise. There is one thing that was required, Jesus said, speaking of Mary. And He says it will not be taken away from her. As we seek Your face, as we seek to draw near to You, it will not be taken away from us. And we stand in that promise and we stand in that fact that You who direct us, You who guide us, continue to draw us close. Oh, Father, we thank You. We give You glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thanks for listening. For more information, visit glbcvt.org.